help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 232, the first two verses. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints, but let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1 and 2 of 232. This morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, thereof the first chapter, beginning with verse 26 through 38. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Thus far.
Let us ask the Lord for his presence and blessing in this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things, and thou who upholds all things, and our life is in thy hand, in thee we live and move and have our being. Lord, on this beautiful day in thy creation, where we may see the sun shine, may we ask thee today, on thy day, in thy house, that the Son of Righteousness may rise, that he may be seen through thy word by that eye of faith, that poor and needy sinners who have nothing in self and who in themselves feel they are sinking in that mire of clay helpless and hopeless, unable to deliver self, that they may be given that faith that looks outside of self, that faith that may be an exercise to behold him in his beauty, to see that precious Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that only Savior of sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come powerfully, irresistibly by the work of thy Holy Spirit, and apply the preaching of thy precious word, but also the sacrament of baptism. When thy word may go out with the outward calling, wilt thou bring it inward by that internal calling, by the power of the Holy Spirit? But also wilt thou apply the message of baptism? Wilt thou give that poor and needy sinners may see that water, but look to what that water points to that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood that has all power, that power to cleanse us from all sins. Oh, may we ask thee, Lord, then gather with us, come with the presence of thy Holy Spirit. And thou hast said in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. Lord, thou art faithful. Do it for thy own name's sake, Lord, because thou hast said in thy word, as there is no reason in us, but thou hast said, not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, may we plead then and beg thee, have mercy upon us, and come and give those blessings that we cannot give ourselves, that new life and grace to not only know who we are, that we are sinful, that we are wretched, polluted, by nature totally depraved, but also teach us of how great thou art and all thy attributes. But also, Lord, may we beg thee that we may learn of that only way of deliverance, that only way of reconciliation with a God against whom we have sinned against, whom we have offended through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, reveal him as the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only one that can reconcile us. But teach us, Lord, strip us of all of self, and fill us with thyself. Lord, remember the whole congregation, also visitors who may be with us in this morning. Lord, we ask that each one may receive a blessing. Lord, we pray and ask thee that thou would remember the mourning ones, comfort them. Remember also the sick and afflicted. Bless the means they may use. Remember those who could not gather with us this morning in thy house for various reasons and may be listening along by the means thou hast given. Give them a blessing in their homes. Lord, we pray that thou would receive our thanks, that thou hast cared for Cindy with her surgery and who may also be at home recovering. Remember her in this affliction, Lord. But we also give thee thanks that after more than a week, Carolyn could go home to be with her family. Lord, thou art a merciful and a wonder-doing God to undeserving sinners. Remember the whole congregation, Lord, and sanctify these callings to her never-dying soul, that we may see and know we are sin, that thou art holy and just, and will by no means clear the guilty. Teach us we are guilty. Teach us of him who is pure and holy. Lord, we ask thee, have mercy upon us. May we ask thee also to remember Lucienne. Bless the means also for her body. Remember her family. Lord, care for her physically, spiritually. We ask and beg thee, Lord, that thou would then give us in this day a blessed time in thy house, that we may say it was good to be here because the Lord was with us. Lord, we pray. There's no reason in us because we sent everything away also in this past week. We are wretched, sinful, polluted, and all we can present unto thee as a congregation is all our sins, all our filthy rags. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, teach us of him who is the Lord our righteousness, that we may know him, because to know him is eternal life. Lord, we pray, take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances in listening to thy precious word, but also to listen and to see the sacrament of holy baptism. Thou art that faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah, and because of thee, in thee, and through thee, there is salvation for complete lost sinners. O Lord, wilt thou work then in our hearts the essence of the covenant of grace, that thou wilt seek and save, that thou wilt renew sinners and draw to thyself. Show who we are, but show who thou art, especially also through thy Son, the Lamb of God. Lord, we pray and ask thee, help all thy servants throughout the entire world. Give each one what they stand in need of, and that through the foolishness of preaching, as thou hast said in thy word, that thy kingdom will come, that sinners would be born again, and that lost sinners may be led to that precious Savior. Lord, wilt thou draw then with those cords of love to thyself. Lord, we pray and ask thee also to bless all mission work throughout the world, locally, in this neighborhood, whatever is done for thy kingdom, bless it, but also in Canada and throughout the world. And may we ask thee also, especially as thou hast given that privilege and responsibility to proclaim the precious gospel, death in Adam and life in Christ in Bolivia, bless it richly, Lord. Help the church workers, the elders, the deacons, thy servant Pastor Marco. Remember them all, Lord, and bless thy word to that people, that many may be born again, that many may come to know thee and to worship thee, and to know that only name given among men whereby we must be saved. But, oh, we pray for the same blessings, the same needs, also in our denomination and also here in this church. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, awaken sinners, give life. Those who may come to church and go home, know the truth, but have never experienced what it is to be lost before thee, a holy God. May sinners become lost sinners, and that they may cry out, what must I do to be saved? And that they may be instructed by thy word, by thy spirit, of the way, of that only way to be reconciled, to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be justified, to be sanctified. Lord, we beg thee, help then thy servant. He's a son of man, and he needs thy spirit. May he be prayerful, that he may then proclaim thy word for the glory of thy name, for the coming of thy kingdom, for the salvation of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people. Remember also the parents who will have their child baptized. Help them, Lord. Also, when they must answer the questions, give them grace, not only personally for their own souls, but also grace to be godly parents, to raise up their children in the fear of the Lord. Help us all, Lord. As parents, give grace to instruct our children in the precious truths of thy word, and bless it richly, Lord, for thy glory, for the salvation of our dear children. Remember then, Lord, and look upon us through him, in whom thou art well pleased, who's at thy right hand, he who said, it is finished, he who gave everything to open that way back to thee, that we have closed with all our sin. May we ask thee and lay all these needs before thy throne of mercy and grace, in that blessed name, that only name, in whom there is hope and life, in the name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Congregation, now we will read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 126. The form for the administration of baptism, and you can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witness and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by his holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall be, shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are combined two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, Therefore, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon this child and incorporate her by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto thee in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. May I ask the parents to please stand. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, ye have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether we acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized? Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and the articles of the Christian faith and which are taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see this child when come to the years of discretion, as you are the parent, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Father Zwartbal, what is your answer? Yes. Mother Zwartbal, what is your answer? Yes. May the Lord remember you. Because to fulfill what you have promised, and what we have all promised as parents in baptism children, or parents, when we baptize our children, to fulfill, to do these promises, you need God's grace. And we need God's grace. And your child is a beautiful little child, a beautiful little girl, as your other children. All little children are very beautiful. They look so sweet. They look so innocent. They're beautiful. It's so beautiful to hold a little child. And it's a blessing. And yet that child has a heart, a desperately wicked heart. They're conceived and born in sin, and they need to be regenerated. They need to be brought into the kingdom of God. They're born outside of the kingdom, born under the administration of the covenant of grace. What a blessing. Yes, congregation, that is a great blessing. God has separated this child, these parents, you and me, from all the millions in this world who never hear the gospel. What a blessing. But we need more. More than just a blessing. We need the essence of the covenant of grace in our hearts. We need it applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be born again. We need to have that grace of true repentance, of true faith. We need to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be covered by his righteousness, by him who is the head of the covenant of grace. And in baptism, when you see that water, I hope you can see it. Look to that water, but look to what that water points. Don't look at the baby. Don't look at the parents. It's not about them. God is speaking. Jehovah is speaking. He's saying, you see that water? I have a message for you. You're filthy. You need to be cleansed. But he also has another message. He has a message. There is a way to be cleansed, sinner, polluted, filthy, corrupt sinner. And I have the power. I have the power. Jehovah has the power to convert dead sinners, to give life. And he wants you to see that blood. And you may beg him and ask him to see not only that water, but to see that blood. Because in that blood speaks and points to the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. It's a sacrament. And God desires, he instituted the sacrament, and he desires that his dear lambs and sheep, poor needy sinners, may look and see not the water, but that blood, that they may be comforted in that love, in that eternal love of God the Father, God the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you be given to see it. May I see it. Congregation, may you see it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us sing now from Psalter 289, stanzas 2 and 3. Psalter 289, stanzas 2 and 3. Let hearts rejoice that seek the Lord, his holy name adore. Seek ye Jehovah and his strength, seek him forevermore. 289, stanzas 2 and 3. And 3. After the baptism of Holy Supper, or of the Lord of baptism, sorry, after the sacrament of baptism, we will stand and sing Psalter 425, verse 5. Mindy, Annika, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us close the sacrament of baptism with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that she may be piously and religiously educated, increase, and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that she may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion to the end, that she may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Let us sing now together from Psalter 184. Psalter 184, the first five stanzas. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll. Psalter 184, stanzas 1 and 5, and the collections or the offerings this morning is the first for the church and the second for the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, children, teenagers, visitors, in my imagination I see a man in a pit, and he's slowly sinking in that pit. It's a pit of miry clay, and every effort to escape or to get out of that pit, he just sinks deeper and deeper. Humanly speaking, he's going to die. But then that man in that pit, he hears footsteps. He hears someone coming. And then ropes are let down to him, and he's pulled up out of the miry clay. 30 men pull this man out of this pit. This is Jeremiah. As we read in Jeremiah 38, he experienced physical deliverance from the pit of a miry clay. What joy, what happiness to be able to stand on ground again, to be out of that pit where he certainly, if left to himself, would die. But this is also an experience in the soul of sinners. Because of all their sins, because of all their iniquities and all their transgressions and who they are and who they remain to be, they feel they're sinking. And every effort to deliver themselves from their sin, they just feel they're sinking deeper and deeper and deeper. And as they are sinking, they pray, they cry, they sigh to God, deliver me. They're waiting upon God to be delivered out of this pit. Jeremiah also knew that. He also knew what is to be delivered out of a pit, out of sin. He's a servant of God. He has God's grace. He also has experienced spiritual deliverance. But how is it with you, my friend, this morning? Is your heart what we read in Psalm 69, verse 1 through 3? Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut up her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Is this your life? Is this your soul this morning? Is this your experience? We just sang about it in Psalter 184. Could you sing along with your whole heart? Because you know this? Sinking, not in a physical pit, but sinking because of all your sin, all your iniquities, and all your own efforts. You just feel you're sinking deeper and deeper. Crying to God, sighing, groaning, looking unto him, waiting upon him. Jeremiah heard footsteps coming. 30 men delivered him out of that pit. But what is the good news this morning? For such sinking sinners, no, it's not 30 men. It's not a pastor. It's not man at all. It's one who is the Son of Man, the Son of God. Who is the only one that can save such sinking, helpless sinners? Him in whom God has laid help upon, a mighty one, an almighty one, a powerful one, a one to save the most wretched of sinners. Psalm 89, verse 19, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. There's good news this morning, my friends. Not of me, But if God, in His Word, the best news, the news of the gospel, news for perishing, sinking sinners that have absolutely no hope in self. Christmas is about God the Father in His infinite love sending His only beloved Son to rescue perishing, hell-worthy sinners. Christmas is about Jesus Christ coming to this world to seek and save lost, perishing, sinking sinners. How did Jesus become man? How did He come to this world? Well, we will consider that this morning with the help of the Lord from what you heard, which was read to you from Luke 1, verse 26 through 38. But at this moment, I will only read verse 31. Luke 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. The good news. The theme is the good news. The birth announcement of the Messiah. Three thoughts. To whom this good news came. Who does it come to? Who did it come to? To whom this good news came. The second thought, the content of this good news. What is it? What is the good news? What is the content? What is the message of God that sent an angel, Gabriel, to tell them? What's the content of that message? And then last, the response to the good news. Mary responded. But it's a question for you and me also. How do you and I respond to the good news? So the theme, the good news, the birth announcement of Jesus Christ. To whom this good news came, the content of this good news, and the response of this good news. So the first thought, to whom this good news came. We read in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So what does it mean in the sixth month? That refers to the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth. And who's the messenger? An angel. An angel sent from God. Not just any angel, because children in congregation, there's thousands and thousands of angels, but a specific angel named Gabriel. God could have revealed this message unto Mary by a dream. But this message is so utterly important, so precious, so great, He sent Gabriel, that angel Gabriel, to come and to pronounce this announcement. This announcement of the birth of God's only beloved Son. Where did the angel go? Where did God send this angel? Did He go to Jerusalem, the capital city, a famous city? No, He didn't. He went to Nazareth, to an unimportant city. He didn't go to Rome or to Jerusalem. He went to a place, an unlikely city, where there were common, unimportant people in this city. This announcement came to a little unimportant city, far from Jerusalem, far from the spiritual leaders. Gabriel was sent to a city which we read in John 1, verse 46. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth? But to whom? To whom in this city, in this unlikely city, was He sent? He was sent to an unlikely person. We read in verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So this messenger Gabriel came to an unlikely city and to an unlikely person. Just a common, ordinary teenage girl. What does it tell us? That tells us that God uses common, unimportant people, People that have no high expectations of themselves. People who are not looking for great things for themselves. People. Common people. And what do we read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27? But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to conform the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to conform the things which are mighty. God uses common, ordinary people to serve him. Who is Mary? Who's Mary? Mary's a teenage girl. Who's Mary? She's actually royal. She's of the descendants of David, as we read. She's of the lineage. She's royal, a royal person. What else do we know of her? She's engaged, espoused to Joseph. She's engaged to a man. What else do we know from the Word of God of Mary? She's a sinner. No, Mary's not holy. She's a sinner. God comes to sinners with good news. Is that good news for you? That God comes to ordinary, common, unworthy sinners. Mary's a sinner. What else do we know about her? She's pure. She's engaged to Joseph, but she's a virgin. She lives pure. My friends, congregation, this is a reminder for all of us to live pure, young ladies, young men. Yes, you too. To live pure in your relationships, in all relationships, whether we're single, whether we're a couple, or even when we are married, to live pure. Do we live pure? Do we have the same spirit as Joseph when he was tempted to sin against the seventh commandment? What did he say? Did he say, I do not desire this? No, he said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? That's what we need, God's grace. And his law in his heart, love for him and hatred for sin. And so Gabriel speaks to Mary and says to her in verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. So what else can we learn from this verse of Mary? She's a child of God. She's a true believer. She's a common, ordinary, teenage sinner, but she also is a recipient of God's grace. When you translate those words, thou art highly favored, it means graciously accepted, or much grace. Mary has received the favor of God. Mary has God's grace. Can this be said of you, my friend? Can this be said of you, that you are also a sinner, common, but you have received God's grace? I can think of nothing better on this earth than to be a recipient of God's grace. Not great things for myself, but I've received God's grace. Girls, ladies, this young lady, Mary, is very blessed. She has received favor of God. She's not blessed because she's without sin, but because she has received God's grace. How did Mary feel in the presence of an angel, in the presence of a messenger of God? Well, we read verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Mary was surprised. She had awe. She had reverence. A messenger of God, a holy being. She was standing in the presence. She didn't think, of course, me. No, we see humility. Humility. A common girl, a sinner, received grace, and she has humility. Do you have humility? Have you been taught by God's grace who you are? And she reflects upon what the angel has said to her, that he's speaking to her. And she thinks upon these things. And it's as if she says in herself, why me? Why would such a messenger ever come to such a sinner, an unimportant common girl as me? And what is the message? What's the message that he's going to bring to me? She has no high thoughts of herself, no expectation, but she's in awe that such a message would come to her and that what the message would also be. My friend, are you just an ordinary person? Are you a sinner? And are you in awe? And is there humility that God would speak to you? Do you long for him to speak to you? Do you long? And it would be such a wonder if you could come to church and you wouldn't hear that man on the pulpit, but that you would hear that word from the word of God, that God would speak to your soul. The angel answers her and says in verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." She found favor with God. Young people, teenagers, what does this remind of you? Of a history in the Old Testament in Genesis 6. And Noah found grace with God. Noah was used to build an ark, to have a refuge for a people to be saved from the wrath of God. And Mary, she's going to be used as an instrument, this common, ordinary, sinful girl who is a recipient of grace, to be used as an instrument, to be used in God's hands for the salvation of much people, because she would bring forth nothing in her, but she would be used as an instrument to bring forth God's Son. What a task. What a message. But what is that message really about? That brings us to our second thought, the content of this good news. Congregation, now we will hear what the content of Christmas is, what the Christmas message is. Now we will hear what the good news is for sinking sinners in the mire of clay, of their sin, of their transgressions, and of their iniquity. Christmas is not about receiving gifts. It's not about having trees in our homes. It's not about having lights and parades and all kinds of extra things that we try to get excited about. Christmas is about Christ. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Gabriel, that message, now has a message about the content of Christmas to Mary. Let's read that in our chapter, verse 31 and 33. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Mary will have a son. Mary will give birth. In Mary, there will be a child which will be conceived, and a baby will develop. A baby will grow. A body, a head, arms, legs, feet, hands, nose, eyes, ears, toes. A whole perfect little body with lungs, with a heart, a whole human being will be conceived in Mary. This is an amazing work of God. Children, you were conceived in the womb of your mother. That's amazing work of God. Let's read something about that in Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works." But Jesus Christ was also conceived in Mary. He also, God in the flesh, I cannot explain it, but God in the flesh, by the powerful conception of the Holy Spirit, a body grew in a woman, in a sinful woman, in Mary, a little body. And I say this with much reverence, Jesus was developed. He had a head, toes, feet, a hands, a whole perfect little human body. John 1 verse 14, "And the Word," Jesus, "and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." What a wonder. What mercy. What grace. My friends, we all have a name. You heard the name of that baby this morning that was baptized. And we all have a name. And who chooses our names? These parents chose the name for that baby. And your father and your mother chose your name. We make a list of boys' names, girls' names, and we choose a name. Now, when I ask you, did Mary and Joseph need to sit together and say, what's the name of this baby going to be? We need a list of different names? No. No, they didn't. Gabriel told them what the name should be. No, not Gabriel. God the Father told them what the name was to be of his own dear son. So who picked the name of this precious baby that would be born of the Virgin Mary? God the Father. We read in verse 31, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus. This name speaks of the work that this babe will do, what the Messiah will do in his life. It speaks of who he is. What does this precious name mean? Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves, or in Jehovah is salvation. Jesus. May I ask you, has that name ever become sweet to your soul? That you may hear of a Savior, Jesus. And we hear it so often. I've heard it thousands of times in my life. But when it comes with the application of the Holy Spirit and you're sinking in all your sin and you have no help, nothing in itself, but then when you may hear that precious name, Jesus, Jehovah saves. That covenant-keeping Jehovah, salvation is in him. There's hope in him for the most wretched, wicked sinners. Oh, then that name becomes sweet. Then you want to hear that name. You want to speak about that name. And you long to hear of the name Jesus. He came to carry out and fulfill the plan of that covenant of grace. He was sent by the Father. He didn't only come to speak of the way. He didn't only come to show the way. But he came to be the only way back to a holy, a righteous, and a just God. He came to be the only way. The only way for deliverance out of that pit. Jesus came to this world to save who? Righteous ones? No. No. There is no righteous ones. He came to save sinners. Listen to what he said in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? Who wants to be lost? We don't want to be lost. We don't want to be lost. We don't want to be guilty. We don't want to be helpless. We're proud enemies of grace. But when God teaches by the power of the Holy Spirit, we become lost. We become guilty. We become hopeless. There's only one way. Lord, save me. Save me. Jesus. What a precious name. Open your Bibles, please, to Acts 4, verse 12. There's only one name. One name that gives hope. There's only life, eternal life, in one name. There's only the forgiveness of sin in one name. There's only hope for lost sinners in one name. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the Savior. No, he's not a Savior. He's the Savior. He's the only way. And everyone here this morning, you may hear it. This message comes to all. There is a Savior. And you need the Savior. And this Savior is the only one that can reconcile you with a holy and just God. There is no one here, no one in Cortland, no one in Canada that does not need this Savior. We all need it, but do we need it? Do you know the difference? You can hear you need it, but do you need it? Do you need him in your heart? Do you need him in your soul? Do you need him as a sinner? Do you need him as a way? Back to God. Do you? Because there's love in your heart for God. You want to be reconciled with God. And there comes no other way but him. Has the name become sweet for your soul that he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life? That name, Jesus, he becomes sweet to recipients of God's grace. The angel continues, and he says in verse 32, and he shall be great. His name shall be Jesus, and he shall be great. When we hear great, we think of Samson, maybe, children. He was great. He was strong. That's not what it refers to. Or maybe you think of Goliath. He was big and tall and mighty. No. What does it mean that the Lord Jesus, this child, will be great? He will be great in his compassion. He'll be great in his grace. He'll be great in his mercy. He will be great in his teaching. He'll be great in his love. He'll be great in his life to live for the glory of God. He'll be great in keeping the commandments. He'll be great in his righteousness. He'll be great in everything that he is. He's the chiefest among 10,000. He's beautiful. He's altogether lovely. Or is he not? He's great. He's a great Savior. And he will be great in accomplishing the salvation. He longed for it from eternity. It was delight to do the will of his Father. And he came as the head of the covenant of grace to give his life, to die, so that he could say, finished. In him is great salvation for great sinners. Are you a great sinner? Then I have good news for you. I may proclaim to you this morning a great Savior. One who's great to lift you out of that sinking, miry clay of all your sins, of all your transgressions. I pray with my whole heart that this becomes every one of your best news for your soul, that you would really experience Christmas. That's my longing for your congregation, for my whole heart, for each and every single one of you. That you become lost, that you become guilty, impossible to be saved, but in him, that he may become the one that's all your hope, all your life. And he shall be the son of the highest. Who's the highest? Children, who's the highest? It's a name for God. God is the highest. There's none equal to him. He's the highest. None is above him. It's all below. He's that great one, that holy one, in all his attributes, in all his being, and who he is. We can always find a nicer diamond. Ladies, we can always find a nicer diamond, a little bigger, a little more expensive. We can always find someone who's maybe a little more intelligent, a little more powerful, a little more rich. But none is compared to him who is the highest. None. Everything is below. All nations, the whole earth, the whole universe, and especially you and me as sinful human beings. Listen to what we read in Psalm 113, verse 4 and 5. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? What a great, high, glorious child has he? Has he become great to you? Have you looked unto him as the highest? None other compared to him. Jesus Christ is the Son of the highest. No, he is the highest because he also is God. Jesus Christ is God and man. And this is a mystery to our minds. And the angel continues. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Why the throne of David? Well, because God gave that promise in that covenant promise through the Old Testament that through David would come a seed, a branch, and he will come on his throne. For example, as we read in Isaiah 9, verse 7, upon the throne of David, or Jeremiah 23, verse 5, and I'll raise unto David a righteous branch. And Jesus Christ came, and he fulfilled all these prophecies. He's a son of David through his human being, through his human part, through Mary, but he's also the very Son of God, very God and very man. He fulfilled these prophecies. What does that tell us, congregation? He is the Messiah. There is no other Messiah. He is the Messiah. It's Jesus Christ. Children, we read that he has a throne. Maybe some of you are sitting on a chair or on a bench. But what does a throne speak to us? No, we don't have a throne on the pulpit. We don't have thrones in the consistory room. We have chairs. But this one, this child, he will sit on a throne. What does it tell us? He's a king. A king sits on a throne. A king has authority. A king has power. This child that Mary will give birth, he will be a king with all authority, with all power, and he will have a kingdom. He came to be the Savior, and he will have a kingdom, and he will save a kingdom of sinners by his might, by his power. He will give them life. He will seek and save them, and he will give them life. What a wonder. What a precious king. And he will have many citizens. Many citizens. An innumerable multitude around his throne, forever glorifying and praising him. Will you be there? David was a king for how long? I think 40 years. How long will this one, this great one, this one is the highest, he who sits on the throne, how long will he be a king? 40 years? 100 years? 1,000 years? 1,000,000 years? 1,000,000,000 years? No, he will be king forever. Forever. Verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. David reigned for 40 years. But later his kingdom went into captivity. But this king, this child, who is the Son of the Highest, the Almighty One, the King, he will have a kingdom. And his kingdom will have no end. No end. And he will seek and save. He will pick up those out of the miry clay, sinking. He will give liberty to the captives. He will lift them up. He will save them. He will bring them. And he will carry them as the good shepherd, and he will bring them into his kingdom, and they will never ever perish. They will never go into captivity. They will forever be free of sin, forever be able perfectly to glorify him who is the king. What good news. Or not. Or not. Be honest with your heart, my friend. Be honest. It's good to be honest. The Lord can see your heart right now. Is this news? You're just waiting for the amen? Or is it good news for your soul? And if it's not good news, I hope you feel so horrible, so guilty, and that you confess it and say, I hear it, Lord. I hear it, but it's not good for my soul. And you, who may hear it, and who may become good for your soul, become sweet, thank God, because he made the difference where there was no difference. It's our guilt. If we reject this child, if this good news, we just hear it and carry on, it's our guilt. But if it becomes good news, sweet to our soul, we only have one place to end it. All the glory to God. Why me? Why such a sinner as me? That thou hast sought me. That thou hast saved me, that thou hast made me alive, taught me of my sin, and revealed unto me that only name among men whereby I must be saved. My friend, you've heard a little something of this good news. What is your response? And so we go to the last thought. Mary responds to this message two times. Mary responds to the message of the angel. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How do you understand this question? Is this a question of unbelief? No. It's not a question of unbelief. Mary is perplexed. Why? Mary knew she had lived pure unto this very moment. How can this be? She knows naturally that it's impossible. It's an honest question. Because, Lord, how can this be? How can this be that I will have a child? I had no intimate relationship with any man. It's not unbelief. It's a logical question. And then the angel explains to Mary how it will be. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary, there will be a divine conception. By the power of the Holy Spirit, a babe will be born from you. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did the Lord Jesus need to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by a man? Because man is totally depraved. Man is unclean. He has original sin. He has also polluted heart. And no man ever since fallen Adam could ever bring forth anything that is clean. And Jesus Christ must be clean and pure to be a Savior. So it's a wonder. It's a miracle. It's the grace of God through this miraculous way that He provided a pure, a holy Savior from the very beginning, and that He would be God and man. God created the conception in Mary. God supernaturally created a human body for Jesus Christ in Mary, an eternal deity entered true humanity, as one of the Puritans said. What a wonder. What an amazing wonder. What a plan of salvation. What a glorious covenant of grace. What a God. What a Savior. What hope for lost, perishing sinners. And we do not understand this, congregation. We don't. But we're not called to try to even understand it. We're called to believe it, and that it becomes sweet for our soul. It becomes a miracle. We need to hear it and believe it as faith in God's words. God's words. And Mary, she heard it and she believed it. She believed in the word of God. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. And this is the fundamental point of the Christian faith, because as we hear every night, and listen tonight, what you hear, including in this point of the virgin birth, of the conception of the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus Christ is God and man. This is the exact type of a Savior that perishing sinners in a miry clay need. This is the exact Savior who has the power and the ability and the willingness, and He will save perishing, sinking, lost sinners. Jesus Christ was the only holy child of God. All of God's children are born unholy. No, totally depraved, wretched, wicked, corrupt, polluted. And in time, by God's grace, they are born again, and they receive spiritual life. They're made alive. And they're taught of themselves who they are, to lead them to the only way of deliverance through that Savior, Jesus Christ. And then in their hearts also, when they taste it and when they believe it, first they will believe it, then they will taste it. Then there's also that love that flows out, wanting to express their gratitude to Him. God, Jesus Christ, is the only eternal Son of God, the natural Son of God. And God seeks and He saves sinking sinners in the mire, reclaim, and makes them sons. That's the good news. But how do you respond? Mary responded with a question. No, it was not unbelief. Not unbelief at all. And the Lord confirms it unto her in verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she shall also conceive a son in her old age. This is the 6 month with her, who was called barren. It is as if the messenger of God is saying to Mary, Mary, you think it's impossible? It's not impossible. It will happen. Elizabeth, You know her. She's related to you. It seemed impossible with her that she would ever have a son. She is in her sixth month already. She will soon have a son. Mary, I'm the Almighty God. This is a message from the Almighty God. He will do exactly according to his word. Mary, I'm the one you can trust in. Mary, you will have a child. Mary, he will be God's son. My friend, what is your question in your heart right now? What's your question? What's your question? Is your question, who can be saved? Or maybe I should come a little closer. Is your question, how can I be saved? Is that your question that you came this morning with? Is that a burden in your heart? Not only that you're sinking with all your sin, but how can I be saved? I can understand others, but me, that I would be saved. Is that your question? Maybe you feel it's absolutely impossible. It is with you. But it's not impossible with God. God is the Almighty One. And Jesus Christ is that Almighty Savior who could save the chiefest of sinners. Remember the Lord, the disciples, they asked, who then can be saved? And what did the Lord Jesus Christ himself say to them? The things which are impossible, men, are possible with God. Possible with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That great Savior. How do you respond to this good news? Is it good news for you or not? But then Mary also responds the second time in verse 38. We read, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She surrenders. She surrenders. She trusts the word that God had sent to her. Her faith was in the word of God. She didn't go to reasoning and trying to understand. She just simply believed, and she surrendered. And I say it in my own words. She said, Lord, use me, take me, and it will be according to thy word. Lord, I am thy servant. I'm submissive. Bless it, Lord. Do it. Do it. I trust in thy word. Mary is a sinner. She's a sinner, and she rejoices in that Savior that is in her. You say, how do you know that? Look in your Bible. Luke 1, verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mary responds with that message, and she rejoices. She worships the child that will be in her. She hasn't seen that child. She hasn't held the child. She can't even feel she's pregnant yet, I would think. And yet, according to the word of God and what God said, she responds in faith and trust, and that faith and trust leads to true rejoicing and worshiping. And that's faith. Faith isn't only sorrow because of who I am. Faith is also upon the word of God, of who he is through his Son. There's trust upon it. Faith trusts the record of God's Son. And when you truly trust, there's also joy. And it will lead to worship. My friend, do you not only know something of sorrow, but do you know something of joy? Joy like Mary had. She sang a song. You could say, Mary, be quiet. Don't sing. But she would have to sing because she had to. It just bubbled out of her heart, her being. She wanted to glorify the Lord. Do you know something of that? Did you hear something of the precious Savior? And it comes into your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you believe it. And you have joy in him, not in yourself. In him. And that you worship. What a precious message. What a precious salvation. What hope, congregation, for sinking, perishing sinners. Mary is a beautiful example of how we are to live in true faith upon the word of God. Nothing in self, but looking to him, expecting from him. Faith And what he says, and all of God's children will become willing as Mary, because she became willing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's children, all true believers, will become willing in the day of his power. And yes, that flesh lives, and they fight against again. But again, God will humble them. God will bring them to repentance. And they will say, as Mary, surrendering unto him, Mary responded to the message of the good news, and it led her to joy, to worshiping. My friend, may I ask you this question? You don't have to answer me, but how? How have you responded to the best news, the good news, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, that he comes and seeks and saves, and he has the power to save the most vilest of sinners? How do you respond? Answer the Lord. Amen. Almighty, eternal, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we heard a little something of the wonders of thy grace, of the love of God the Father that he sent his Son, of the love that thou hast proclaimed this message, what was written in thy precious word, which was sent to Mary, but it was also sent unto us. We heard it this morning, of the Savior. Oh, we beg and ask thee, Lord, bless it, apply it to the hearts of this whole congregation. Teach of sin, teach of guilt, teach of the only way, strip of self and fill with thyself. Lord, we beg thee for thy honor, for thy glory, and that sinners may truly hear it, but also have that true joy, that unspeakable peace, that joy which nothing else in this world can give. Lord, we pray then, keep us in this day, and bring us again tonight in thy house. And Lord, we pray that through the foolishness of preaching, thy kingdom may come. Forgive all our sin in preaching and in listening. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us close with singing from Psalter 111, the first three stanzas. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet and steadfast made my way. 111, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.